Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom on the program this evening. A volatile crisis is unfolding along the Thailand-Cambodia border where heavy artillery fire and airstrikes have escalated tensions to their highest in over a decade. The conflict centered on disputed territories, including the Priya Vihar Temple and nearby sites like Tamuan and Takrabe, has claimed at least 20 lives and displaced more than 1,30,000 people, mostly civilians. Both nations accuse each other of firing first, but the latest information now coming in is that Malaysia's ASEAN chair is pushing for peace. The Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Manet has backed a ceasefire proposal from the Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim, but Thailand, favoring bilateral talks, withdrew its initial support, insisting that Cambodia halt the attacks first. What's the latest situation going to be? But let's tell you first what this is all about. Well, this is the area that we're looking at. These are the areas where the fighting has, in fact, been taking place. And Thailand says it has, in fact, intensified. Now, the Thai-Cambodia standoff centers on a territorial dispute over the Priya Vihar Temple, a UNESCO World Heritage Site claimed by both nations since the 1962 International Court of Justice ruling favored Cambodia. The 11th century Priya Vihar Temple, along with a nearby smaller temples like Tamuan and Takrabe, some of which you see on your screens, fuels the conflict because of their cultural and historical significance to both nations. Now, recent clashes involve rocket attacks from Cambodia hitting Thai civilian areas, prompting Thai military retaliation targeting Cambodian military outposts. Both countries face intense domestic political pressure, with nationalist sentiments fueling demands for a hardline stance, complicating de-escalation efforts. Now, Thailand's military has shown restraint, limiting strikes to military targets, but its superior firepower could dominate if the conflict escalates. Cambodia's weaker military risks significant losses, potentially destabilizing its government if Thailand fully engages. Now, ASEAN and international mediators are pushing for dialogue, but both governments fear losing face by appearing to concede sovereignty. Analysts do predict a gradual de-escalation as both sides seek to avoid full-scale war while addressing domestic audiences. But what is the conflict all about? And let us tell you a little bit about how it has just been intensifying over the last few days. Tensions continue escalating along the Thailand-Cambodia border, where a decades-old territorial dispute near the Priya Vihar Temple has flared into deadly clashes. Both nations have exchanged rocket fire, raising fears of a broader conflict. Thailand has been hitting Cambodian targets with fighter jets. The conflict, rooted in a dispute over the 11th century Priya Vihar Temple, has intensified in recent weeks. Cambodian rocket attacks have struck civilian areas in Thailand, prompting retaliatory strikes. At least a dozen lives have been lost. Thousands have been displaced on both sides.
I think things will continue along their current course for the next, you know, for the short term. I do think both sides have an interest in preventing the escalation of this into a, you know, a full-blown war. I think that the attacks will remain concentrated in areas of close to the border. But given the situation, the domestic political situation in both countries, the engagement of nationalist passions in both countries, this is a very dicey situation, and it could easily escalate from here.
The Thai military has so far limited its response to military targets despite civilian casualties on its side. Analysts warn, however, that Thailand's superior military strength could shift the balance if the conflict escalates.
So far, I think Thailand's response has been quite restrained, given the fact that Cambodian rockets have hit civilian targets inside Thailand. I think that the Thai army claims that it is restricting its attacks to military targets only, but if it decided fully to unleash the dogs of war, I think that it could cause a huge amount of damage to Cambodia and potentially to the Cambodian government's political position. But for the moment, they seem to be exercising restraint.
International mediators, including ASEAN, are urging both sides to pursue dialogue.
Yet domestic pressures in both countries complicate de-escalation. Nationalist sentiments run high, and leaders face accusations of weakness if they back down. For now, the region holds its breath as both nations navigate a delicate balance between pride and peace. A return to the status quo may be the goal, but the path remains fraught with risk for now. Vishnu Shom for NDTV.
Well, joining us now, Hunter Marston, author and adjunct fellow at CSIS, somebody who follows the developments on the ground there very, very closely, and Dr. Thanachart Visayajordan, head of the government department of the Faculty of Political Science in Ubon at the Ratchathani University. Thank you very much, both of you, for being with us. Hunter Marston, is there a sense now, based on the latest information, that an ASEAN-sponsored, specifically a Malaysian-sponsored peace process or resolution, as it were, ceasefire process, will likely be accepted by both sides?
Well, I think the ASEAN process is probably the best case scenario for both sides. Thailand, given its asymmetric advantage, has preferred to handle things bilaterally, but wanted to stay away from wider mediation involving the ICJ, whereas Cambodia prefers to multilateralize this dispute given its asymmetric size disadvantage. So I think an ASEAN sort of family-oriented approach is probably the best case for both sides here.
Mr. Marston, what is the latest situation there? Because we heard that there was a conditional acceptance by Thailand of this Malaysia-sponsored or proposed ceasefire, but that of late they may have step back somewhat. They want more clarity, perhaps. What is it that you're hearing? Or have both sides actually more or less accepted it?
In my opinion, I think...
Mr. Marston, go ahead. And
I'll
go across to Dr. Visayajordan in a moment.
Yeah.
I don't have the latest information on Bangkok's side here. I think one issue, though, is that given Thailand's domestic political crisis, it's unclear which party... is responsible here, and clearly the military has taken charge of Thai foreign policy at the moment. So that's one added complicating factor when outside powers and neighboring countries are trying to engage with the Thai government.
Okay. Dr. Visayajordan, go ahead.
Sorry for interrupting, but in my opinion, as I have heard so far, I think Thailand is willing to hear Malaysia's intervention for this case as the chairman of ASEAN. However, Cambodia must show some sign of conditions that they want to be responsible for the shot to the civilians, and I think a few people have been killed, including the attack on the 7-Eleven, the supermarket, and the petrol station. Also, the attacks on the hospital. I think before ASEAN intervention, Cambodia must show some sign that they are going to take the responsibilities for this. And that's what I've heard from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Thailand.
Dr. Visayajordan, to the best of your information, what you basically want are changes on the ground. You want the Cambodian forces to move back. They've also built some roads in the last little while. You want them to go back from those areas and ensure that access to these temples, which are so important to Thailand, that is guaranteed. Is that essentially it?
The last straw was the case that two Thai military soldiers lost their legs, and actually there were four or five military officers who stepped over the landmines, and It is EMN2, which has been accused by the Thai state that the Cambodians have recently planted, which is prohibited by the international communities, that they should not do this for the sake of humanitarian issue. And the last straw was, I think, a few days ago, before they sent the ambassador back to Cambodia, and the following day, gunfire exchange occurred in the morning. So I don't think about stepping over the land is the case for the last straw, although it's not accepted. The last straw is that they crossed the border and planted the landmine, so that's unacceptable for the Thai state.
Hunter Marston, what is the genesis of the crisis between the two countries?
The temples, some of these date back to the 11th century, so obviously there's a deep and rich history to the disputed territory. But in the last couple of decades, tensions flared in 2008 Those tensions lasted several years before conflicts subsided, but the tensions in 2008 to 2011 were nowhere near as fierce or as violent as the current standoff, which has involved much more military show of force. So I think it'll be more difficult this time around to back down for both sides, and therefore I think ASEAN's role as a mediator is much more needed and urgent.
We're also joined by Vanarith Chiang, an author and geopolitical analyst, a Cambodian public policy analyst. Thank you very much, Vanarith Chiang, for being with us. In the last, let us say, 3 to 4 hours, we've been getting information on how a Malaysia proposed ceasefire agreement, which has been shared by Cambodia and Thailand, may be close to being accepted. What is the Cambodian position to the best of your information?
Thank you for having me. Cambodia very committed to ASEAN principle and ASEAN mediation role in this ongoing clashes and conflict between Cambodia and Thailand, because Cambodia as a small state, it always respect the international law and the third party intervention, especially international court of justice when it comes to the territorial disputes with the bigger neighbors like Thailand. So that has been a consistent foreign policy position of Cambodia back in 2011, for instance, when we had the border clash at that time. Cambodia also brought the case to the ICJ with a decision in 2013. So the root cause of this conflict, we need to understand because of the territorial disputes and sovereignty disputes between the two countries, because they use different maps to draw the border lines. So Cambodia only wished to resolve this case through the International Court of Justice. So that is the root causes of the ongoing armed conflict between two countries. And with regards to ASEAN, Cambodia already accepted the ceasefire that proposed by Anwar Ibrahim, the current chair of ASEAN. But it seems that Thailand changed position and did not accept the ceasefire proposed by ASEAN chair.
You know, Dr. Visayajorn, that is actually the bone of contention right now. There is one perspective, it's been reported by Reuters as well, that in the last little while, Thailand, which had initially given strong signs of a conditional acceptance of, you know, the terms of a ceasefire, seems to have stepped back. Why would that be the case?
Because I think they have the attacks from Cambodia have been more serious and intense in during the past 24 hours, and I think the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is willing to accept the proposal by ASEAN for the ceasefire, but Cambodia must show some respect and show some responsibilities that they have attacked civilians, locations like hospitals and other areas, and innocent people have been killed, like children and women. So this is more intense during the past 24 hours, like I said. So at first, I think they were willing to accept, and then situation changed and they need to step back to see some responsibilities that Cambodia should be showing.
Hunter Marston, you know, in as much as the ceasefire is critical now, it doesn't really resolve the crisis. It's a long-standing dispute. It keeps flaring up. So what is the resolution?
well, it's not for me to say exactly, but the only long-term solution I could see would be some sort of joint custody over the temple grounds itself. And this is just one of the temples. That doesn't apply to the wider border demarcation issues at hand. So I think we do ultimately need some agreed upon international verdict on whose border is where and which territory falls on which side of which border. With regard to the temples, I mean, the Preah Vihear temple has been one of the most divisive issues. And I think UNESCO has a role here. Sadly, the United States has pulled out of UNESCO, so it no longer has much say there. But I would think that there are a number of parties that would agree that the best possible option here would be for peace and tourism to the region that benefits prosperity on both sides of the border.
Dr. Visayajorn, we've heard about a lot of people who've been displaced. Could you give us a sense of the number of losses of lives and the numbers that you have of those who've been displaced?
I think as I have explored through the media and to the reports of the government, around 10,000, somewhat 10,000 people have been like relocated because they, you know, the border from from the easternmost, from Changbuk, to Nakhon Ratchasima, I think it's like 4 or 5 provinces, and people are relocated because they are afraid of the attacks. But quite a few are willing to stay at home because they want to safeguard their animals and their properties, and that's the number I've heard. And for the report of the military officer, I think quite a few have been killed already in for the Thai military officers, and dozens were injured. For the people, I think more than 10 to up to 20, especially yesterday, only at one time, innocent people, children are back from school because in the morning there were exchange of gunfire, and children were, school need to be stopped, and children were brought home by their parents, and along the way they stopped by and they went to the supermarket. I think 8 or 9 children went there, and after they're trying to pay cash, and then a missile dropped on the roof of the supermarket. So at that time, I think it was 8. And so I think the number should be around 20, more or less. Right. I'm not sure. I need to check again for the number right now.
Vararit Chiang, considering the fact that Thailand has a considerably larger military, including the use of air power, they've got fighter aircraft, which they've already used in the last 24-odd hours, is it sustainable for Cambodia to carry on with military operations?
I just would like to respond to our Thai friends here that the Cambodian civilian also killed by the bombing of the F-16 and artillery and also cluster bombs.
All right, we'll come back to you, Vararit Chiang, in a moment. We've lost your line over there. We've lost your line. We'll come back to you as soon as we fix that line. Hunter Marston, the question is the same. Can Cambodia sustain this?
Well, you know, Cambodia has significant military power that can it can sustain fighting for at least, you know, weeks. And I don't think it has an interest in seeing this break out into a wider armed conflict. For that reason, you know, we would hope that Thailand will not exacerbate the situation much further beyond the aerial bombardments that have taken place. And hopefully Cambodia does not feel compelled to respond by ratcheting up the conflict further. I think, you know, it's in Cambodia's interest here and in both sides' interest to pursue dialogue and ceasefire negotiations that achieve a lasting peace.
Dr. Vizayjorn, would you agree that both sides don't want this to become a full-fledged war?
I doubt that because, first of all, I would say that Thailand would not want this to be a war. However, for Cambodia, I'm not so sure because, as I have witnessed, the elites of Cambodia state want this to be upgraded to international level, and they want to bring in all the international actors to intervene and solve this issue according to their opinion. And for example, for the Prime Minister, I think in his administration, he wants to have more castle.
Sure.
The ancient castle, because it's not only for the sake of Cambodia, it's the sake of his personal legacy to compare with the past Prime Minister of Cambodia. In the past, in 1962, Cambodia had won.
Okay, Dr. Vizayjorn, just hold on for a second. We've got Vararit Chiang back with us. We've got about 1 minute left. Can you go ahead, sir? We lost your line.
Yes, I just would like to respond to our Thai friends that Cambodian civilian also were killed by the Thai fighter jets, F-16s, cluster bombs, and other heavy weaponries used deployed by Thai military. So this is also the civilian victims across the border in Cambodia. And most importantly, the World Heritage sites, such as Prayvir Temple, have been in severe damage by the Thai bombing. So the use of cluster bombs and F-16s is caused a lot of damage to Cambodian sites. With regards to the intention of Cambodia is to have a ceasefire as soon as possible, immediate ceasefire on the spot, so that the civilian of two countries can stay in peace and safety. So this is the clear position of Cambodia. And as a small country, we always wish to see the third-party mediation in this conflict, and we don't want to see war between these two neighbors.
Well, let's just hope that that is the case. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. Hopefully that situation, we're seeing green shoots of de-escalation. Will that happen or not? We'll have to wait and see. Thanks for being with us.